Praise the Lord. Here we are at Watchman School of Prayer, class number 14. Amen. Everybody say 14.
14.
That's right. Advanced intercession number 3. We are teaching on the weepings of God. And this is a powerful class. I hope and pray that I get through all of it. It's quite a lot of material that I want to share with you. And I believe that many of you that are here and those of you that are watching or listening, this is, you've already experienced this, but you just haven't known what you were doing. And it's always good to put the word to work with what you've done. Amen? So, we need to understand something. Any sound, and this is a little bit of a review, I've said this before, the sound itself doesn't do anything. You know, it doesn't matter what the sound is. By itself, it does nothing. But the work of the Spirit that is done through the sounds, whether it's groanings, travail, weepings, whatever the sound is, the work of the Spirit through the finished work of the blood of Yeshua, that's what brings things forth. It's in the spirit realm. It's not because you just make a sound. You have to know, you have to mix faith. You have to know what the Word of God says about that sound. Why are you making it, okay? And then you allow the Spirit of God to move on you in different situations, and that's how you begin to pray and intercede in a deeper level. Remember, in everything that you do, you have to mix faith with the sound, okay? You can't just do it for nothing, you know, because I'm doing it, all right? Now, one thing that's very important is that we must allow the Holy Spirit to continually work through and in us. We mustn't think that we have to produce something, you know, because of works or something like that. We must remember that it's the Holy Spirit is the one who leads and guides us. And the only way that that happens is if we're walking with the Spirit of God daily, we're fellowshipping with the Spirit of God, so when we go into the heavier parts of intercession, then we are aware of what we're doing. So we're not just doing it out of religious spirit. Now let's look at the book of Lamentations. If you have never read the book of Lamentations, I will encourage you today that you need to read the book of Lamentations. It's a very, very powerful book. Basically, this book originally was part of the book of Jeremiah. It was separated from the book of Jeremiah after the destruction of the temple. And it is a book that is all about Israel and Jerusalem and weeping and crying out for it and what's going on, you know, the destruction of the land and the suffering and a prayer for the mercy of God. I just recommend that you need to really read the whole book. Now in Lamentations chapter 2 and in verse 18, and I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible right now. The hearts of the inhabitants of Jerusalem cried to the Lord. Then to the congregation I, Jeremiah, cried, addressing the wall as its symbol. O wall of the daughter of Zion, let tears run down like a river day and night. Give yourself no rest, let not your eyes stop shedding tears. Arise from your bed, cry out in the night at the beginning of the watches. Pour out your heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift up your hands towards Him for the lives of your young children who faint from hunger at the head of every street. Now, much of what I'm reading here really is happening today. There is tremendous crying and lamentation and sounds going forth from Israel. If you watch the news, you see almost regularly, daily, people weeping and having to bury their loved ones. It's a terrible, terrible sight. And we that live in another nation, we don't even have any idea of what it's like to live like that daily. I mean, they live like this daily. And so we see here that the weepings, the crying out, all right, is a voice. This is another type of a voice. And here we see the crying out happening day and night. And this prophet, of course, had the ability to cry out for the people. We need to have the ability to cry out from our hearts. Are we open enough? Are you that's watching open enough and that's hearing on audio? Are you open and free enough to weep at the condition of God's people? Now, not even just the people in Israel, at the condition of unsaved people. When you go into a supermarket or when you're working or you are around people in your schools and you see lost people, they are lost. Does it ever touch your heart? See, if it doesn't touch your heart, then there's a bondage there. You've lost the compassion of the Lord. And you're too wrapped up in your own life. We are to bear one another's burdens, it says, and so fulfill the teachings of the Anointed One. Now, it doesn't mean we run around heavy every day and crying, weeping, but we need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, to those around us. And at the same time, we must be sensitive to Israel and the Jewish people in this day and hour. It is crucial. They are the apple of God's eye. Now, there are two types of people that I want to just talk about that have problems in the area of this heavy kind of intercession, that have maybe difficulty in the area of weeping, travailing, this kind of thing. The first type of person has a real strong emotional weakness. They cry all the time. But the cry is a soulish cry. It comes from the soul, the emotion, from the head part of you, from your will, your desires, your emotions. And this type of cry does nothing but put a person into bondage. The more you cry, the more bondage you come into. The more you cry, the more spirit of self-pity takes over. And a self-pity spirit takes you over. Now, I'm sure there's people that have felt that way. I mean, I've been there too, so hallelujah. You know, no one's perfect. Amen. We have to learn the differences of the different kinds of cries, weepings, all right? Now, if you that are watching or listening or that are in this room in prayer school have that kind of a problem, when these emotions start to take you over, you need to immediately try to stop crying, and instead of crying, you have to rise up and you need to do spiritual warfare. Now, we haven't learned those classes yet, and you will, but some of you already know that. In other words, what's happening is demon powers are stimulating you to be emotionally upset. And you don't want to give over to those demonic powers. You want to stay in the Spirit of God. A lot of times, a religious spirit will make you have this kind of crying. You will feel self-pity, shame. You're no good. And if you come from a religious background, you have to realize what's going on and you have to stop it. You have to, right at that time when that starts to happen, you have to say, no, I'm not going to give to this. I refuse to give to this emotional, whimpering, self-pity spirit. No, devil, I refuse. And I bind you. And basically, these types of cries, there are three types of cries that are in this, or they may all be linked together. It's a cry of rebellion, a cry of grief, and a cry of self-pity and wounds. Now, if you give to this type of a cry, what happens is it's going to result in spiritual death, not life. And what do I mean by that? Spiritually, you're moving away from the Spirit of God, and there's like a death that comes over you. Have you ever seen people that have overly grieved at the loss of a loved one in funerals? They're completely drained. I mean, literally, like a spirit of death begins to take you over. You must not give to this. Young children that are spoiled, they'll do this. They'll temper tantrums. I want my way, I want my way. And they start screaming and, you know, all this kind of stuff. and whimpering and all this kind of... Well, it's a cry of rebellion. Let's look at that very briefly. It's in the book of Hosea. And this is, of course, talking about Israel here. Oh, hallelujah. Help me, Lord, find Hosea. I have so much scripture. I'm only on my second page. Okay, Hosea chapter 7. And in verse 14. They do not cry to me from their heart, but they wail upon their beds. They gash in distress and assemble themselves in mourning for grain and new wine. They rebel against me. Basically, God is saying, just talking about Israel, but you can refer to this in any kind of crying. The person's not crying because of me, that they want me. They're crying because they want their own way. And this is the kind of cry that we see. It's rebellion, grief, self-pity, and wounds. And it's no good. And you've got to stop it if you have a tendency to move into that. Or if your children have that. You have to recognize what it is. Because when we weep and cry by the Spirit of God, which we're going to learn tonight, it brings refreshing. It brings healing. It brings comfort. And it cleanses. It does not bring the spiritual death that I just talked about. Now, the second type of person that has a problem in giving to intercession in a deeper way with travail or weepings, the second type of person has so much religious bondage or control, what I would call self-control. They're so bound up with religion, they cannot cry. They cannot weep at all. There is no sensitivity there at all. They're all bound up. And these kind of people are not able to have emotions or be tender before God. Now, sometimes you'll see this may happen more to men because, you know, men are taught, well, they're not supposed to cry. Well, that's a bunch of baloney because Jesus wept, and men are supposed to be able to weep by the Spirit of God, okay? Not by the self-pity stuff. And even sometimes you'll see strong leaders in the body of Messiah, preachers, teachers, they're very strong leaders, but they can't be tender before God. And so what you see here is really emotions that are so perverted that a person cannot really flow with the Spirit of God, or that person has been so locked up for so long they have no emotions at all. They cannot supplicate before God. They can't talk to God about what their problems are and be alone with God and this kind of thing. So we have to be able to have God's heart and God's way of feeling. His, if you want to say it this way, God's emotions, spiritual, godly emotions. Okay? And those are strong. And the danger with this kind of person that also has all this control, it's really kind of a religious bondage control, all right? If you cannot express yourself to God, how in the world can you communicate with anyone else, like your husband, your wife, or your children? It's very difficult. And so that's the second type of person. I wanted to share that with you so you have a little insight. Now, one of the strongest ways to break the hardness of heart in us, if we cannot weep, all right, is to allow the Spirit of God to help us to give over to the weepings and to think of the areas in your own life where there is a hardness of heart. Like, for instance, if you never ever have any weepings about Israel, about the lost, about your loved ones. Well, there's a hardness there. And then you have to be able to say, okay, God, you need to ask, Father, bring me the brokenness. You have to say to him, God, bring me the brokenness. Help me to break up the hardness of my heart. And that's a prayer. You ask God. You ask the Spirit of God to help you. You can pray that at any time, and he will. Amen? Now let's look at Lamentations chapter 3. and in verse 49. My eye trickles down and ceases not without any intermission. Now that's a very interesting scripture here. He cannot stop crying. Now, if we're going to be strong intercessors, when we begin to start to pray over a subject, a matter, I'm not saying you pray, you know, 24 hours a day. You have to come to the place where you can weep like this till the Spirit of God is finished with that prayer time. I mean, if we look back on revivals and we go back even to in America, Azusa Street, where we had the great revival, Pentecostal revival, there was one man who laid on his face and travailed and wept and labored to bring forth revival in the earth. But how many of us will do that? See, if we want to see revival with our loved ones, if we want to see revival in our congregation, in our territory, there has to come a laboring in the Spirit in prayer. It's not going to come because we're advertising in a newspaper and people are going to run in. It will not happen. It must come with laboring in prayer. It's the same way as we want to labor for Israel or for our families. And remember, of course, what Jesus said, could you not watch and pray for 1 hour? So we have to be willing to pray for this kind of revival. And if we read here in verse 50 and 51, it says, till the Lord look down and behold from heaven, my eye afflicts my heart because of all the daughters of my city. Now, of course, this is talking about Israel here and how he's lamenting about what's going on in Israel. But you see in verse 51, it says, my eye affects my heart, my soul, my heart, the area that's inside of me. So tears, by the Spirit of God, will break the hardness of heart. And that's a very key thing we must remember. Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. I'm reading this out of the Amplified. And in verse 12 and 13, famous scriptures. Therefore also now says the Lord, turn and keep on coming to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning, until every hindrance is removed and the broken fellowship is restored. Rend your hearts and not your garments and return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, and he revokes his sentence of evil when his conditions are met. This is a real heartfelt type of repentance here, where we really stand in the gap, maybe for others, but here for ourselves, where we need a breakthrough in our lives. We need to have something changed in our lives. And God is saying, come with your heart. You may be fasting and with weeping in repentance for things that are not right from us and from even our forefathers. You know, repentance is one of the greatest healings that you can ever have. Sometimes we don't even know, but there's things and areas we need to find out about that are hidden. Now, I want to describe a couple of different types of weepings. The first one is weepings with supplication. Weepings with supplication. We know what supplication is. We know that supplication is to sit before God and pour our heart out to him. Amen? If you go to Psalm 6, we'll look at one of these. When you start supplicating for the Lord, and I know many of you can relate to me, maybe you can raise your hand. How many of you here, when you've sat before God and you begin to supplicate and talk to God, you begin sometimes tears come out? Yeah. So, and that's weepings with supplication. It just begins to happen. So you already know what that is. But we just, there's many, many scriptures on this. Psalm 6, and we see supplication here. Verse 1 to 3. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline and chasten me in your hot displeasure. Have mercy on me. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. My inner self as well as my body is exceedingly disturbed and troubled, but you, O Lord, how long until you return and speak peace to me? It's pouring out the heart to God here. The psalmist is doing that. When you're in pain and you're in trouble, who do we run to? Who do we cry to? Our friends? Our families? Our husband? Our wives? No, we need to go to God. We need to be running to God. Running right away. Get the Bible, run to God. God, I need you. I got to talk to you. I there's something going on now. And that's the most crucial thing that we must remember. In verse 6 to 8, it says, I'm weary with my groaning. All night I soak my pillow with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. My eyes grow dim because of grief. It grows old because of all my enemies. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. For the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. Now right here, he's saying, telling you, the Lord's heard my voice. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord receives my prayer. It's a good, very good scriptures for you to say, Lord, it says here that you heard David, you're going to hear me. Amen? You just, you know, tells in the Bible that we are to plead our case before God to put him in remembrance. You put him in remembrance of his own word. That's what I do many times. Lord, you said this. So now I'm going to claim it. You're not a respecter of persons. You did it for this psalmist. You're going to do it for me. God will do it for you that's watching and those of you that are listening by audio. If you've got a problem, you need to cry out to God, supplicate to God, and he will hear you and he will answer you. He promises that. Now we've studied already, and we're not going to go into it, but we can remember that we studied on the children of Israel and how they cried to God when they were in bondage. And if you remember in Exodus that God heard their cries, their groanings. He remembered their covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he delivered them. Amen? We know also, if you're just taking notes, in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 5 through 8, we're not going to look at that, but Hannah cried out to God, and God answered and gave her a son. She wanted a son, and this son delivered a nation, and she cried out to God, and God answered. So, how desperate are we for God and an answer? Sometimes we got to get more desperate. Amen? Psalm 119 and verse 145 says, I cried with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord, I will keep your statutes. Our whole heart has to be put into this type of prayer. Many times we give our hearts to other things. We give our hearts to the world system. We give our hearts to, you know, many times even our family members. We give our hearts to boyfriends, girlfriends, to friends, to sports, to work. When we give our hearts to other things, we cannot really supplicate or weep or cry out before God, because our whole heart is not there. Now, I just want to show you, when we talked about the self-pity kind of crying, this is not a supplication by the spirit, but this is a supplication by the flesh, all right? And we're going to look at one in Job chapter 16. It's right before Psalm. Job chapter 16 and in verse 20. My friends scorn me, but my eye pours out tears to God. Now, if you knew what Job was doing here, he actually was complaining and moaning and groaning. He wasn't crying out. If you ever read this story, and you can read this, he wasn't crying out because he was supplicating by the Spirit. It's because he had a self-pity spirit about what was happening to him. So he was crying out tears to God. But what God wants us to do, now hear what I'm going to say. God wants us to give our tears unto God. To God is a whimpering. Unto God is by the Spirit. We're giving it unto him from our heart. It's not just throwing it at someone. You know, a crying, when you just cry and it's a whimpering, and it's what I described before. That's what Job was doing. We need to give our whole heart to the Lord when we begin to stand in intercession and pray like this. Psalm 39 and verse 12 says, hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my cry. There's another prayer about crying out to God. Psalm 22:5, they cry to you and were delivered. They cried to you and were delivered. Were means past tense. Hallelujah. That means we can be delivered as we cry out by the Spirit. Okay, look at Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, and in verse 38, we see a woman here weeping and crying out to the Lord. And she stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Well, basically, we have to learn to get in the presence of God and weep at his feet. You know, she was weeping at the Messiah's feet. And when we come to God and we come into a brokenness, if that's what it takes in a certain area of our life, we have to weep at his feet and not out of perverted emotions. And I keep going back to that because I think that's a crucial thing that we need to see is when the weepings come, are we doing it out of perverted emotions or is it coming because we're at the Messiah's feet and you know the holiness of God is so present and we realize not out of condemnation, out of conviction, this is not right in my life. Now, it may mean, just maybe tears trickling down. You know, and as you read the Word of God, it says the Holy Spirit is the revealer of all truth. I mean, in my prayer time, the Holy Spirit, when I spend time with the Lord, and I can tell you, I really need to encourage you, those of you watching and listening, you must have a specific time put aside every day with the Lord. If you don't have that time, you will not get that time. It will be stolen from you. If I don't lock my door in the morning when I get up and stay in my bedroom, I have a special place there. I set it all up. A sofa, it's a whole thing. Like you need to have, like even if it's a chair, there has to be a place that you spend that time with the Lord. And if you don't do that, it will be stolen from you. You'll never get that quiet time with God. So whether it's morning or night or afternoon, you must make it. You have to put it in to your agenda. And as you read the Word, as you supplicate and you talk to the Lord, all right, He will begin to show you, do you know what? You know what, Susan, this is, Pastor Susan, this one little area, you need to work on this. And as you yield, and it may take years for you to work on an area. Sometimes it takes years and years and years. But if you are faithful and you begin to spend that time and you really pour your heart out to God, God will begin to make a way for change to happen. But you have to make the effort first. You have to take the time, you that are watching and listening, as you're watching me, you make that quiet time. I need to really encourage you because you will never, ever be able to be an intercessor for the Lord, for nations and peoples, if you don't have that place in God yourself. He can't trust you then. Amen? Acts 20. We see Paul, he speaks here in Acts 20. And in verse 19, he says, I'm serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations. So he served the Lord with many tears. Paul himself wept with many tears. It's not just Old Testament, it's New Testament too. Now the second area I want to talk to you about in weepings is weeping for joy. Do you know there is a weeping for joy? You can be overcome with joy and happiness and you begin to weep. How many of you ever experienced that? Well, let's just look at it real brief. In Ezra, the book of Ezra, And it's between Nehemiah and 2 Chronicles. If you can't find it, just write it down. Ezra chapter 3 and verse 12 and 13. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. They had rebuilt the temple, okay? So that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. So they wept for joy because the temple had been rebuilt, because they labored for years together and they saw the answer to their prayers. Amen? Some of us have labored for years here, and we are standing in some of our answers in this synagogue. As I'm teaching you that are watching, you may not know it, but we are in an old synagogue. It was built in the 1950s, and the Lord blessed us with buying this, and I believe it's because we wept and sowed and prayed and whatever, sweated and labored to bring it forth. Now, we're not finished. There's a lot more work that needs to be done. Amen? Now, the next area, third area, is exhortation with weepings and tears. Exhortation with weepings and tears. What does that mean? Well, let's look at Acts chapter 20 again. And this has happened to me. I've been preaching and I've had a very sensitive message, and I will begin to get weepings come to me as I'm teaching. And in Acts 20 and verse 31, Paul is speaking and he says, "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. He preached and taught, and tears came to him as he did that, calling people to repentance." You know, we sing the song, "The Spirit of Elijah." Amen? Well, what is the Spirit of Elijah? It's a spirit that woos people, draws them to repentance, prepare the way of the Lord, and it's a crying out type of a spirit. We got to realize that many times when we're touched by God, if we are preaching or speaking to someone, tears may well up. Sometimes, you know, God may give you an unction by the Spirit. You may meet someone and you're very sensitive to them, and you just say something to them, a little tears well up in their eyes and in yours. They may not even be saved, but because you're sensitive to these needs and you have allowed your heart to be softened and molded, then God can use you in the gifts of the Spirit as you meet other people. You know, word of wisdom, knowledge. You may just touch, say something. And they feel it and you feel it. The fourth area is weepings overcome the flesh. Let's look at Isaiah 53. Weepings overcome the flesh. Isaiah 53 and in verse 11, we know this is speaking of Messiah, Yeshua. It says, "He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." And Jesus here, he said he saw the travail of his soul. And what does that mean? He surrendered his will to do the will of God. The travail of his soul, of his mind, his emotions. He surrendered his will to the will of God. When you surrender your will totally to God, like Yeshua did, for instance, if you knew that you were going to be martyred, all right, like Yeshua knew he was going to be killed the next day for the sake of the gospel, how many of us would come to the altar and cry out to obey God? That's called travail of the soul. Sometimes we don't want to do things and we have to yield our spirit to the Spirit of God. And I'm not saying you're going to be martyred, but there's other things that we don't want to do, and we may need to cry out for our soul, our will, our mind, and emotions to be yielded to the Spirit of God. And the best way to do that is to submit your will to God's will and let the brokenness come into your heart. See, if that doesn't happen, you will begin to realize that if you're stiff-necked, if you're stubborn, if you've become hard in an area, weepings can change your own will. Now we're talking about our own will. We're not just talking about interceding for someone else. Your weeping can change what's going on inside of your heart that's not right. You may know that God wants you to do something. You may know that. You may know that God has something He wants you to do, and you don't really want to do it. So you're in a war. It's a struggle, you know? The soul is struggling against, with the soul and the flesh are struggling against your spirit. So when you begin to allow the brokenness to come to you, and you supplicate before God, and you allow the weepings to come, the weepings begin to change your will. And when you learn heartfelt repentance in your own life about your own stubbornness, then and only then can you learn how to weep and supplicate for other people and nations. Jesus did it. Yeshua did it. He was our example. We can't expect to be these mighty intercessors if we haven't yielded our will, our own stiff neck. Well, I don't want to do that. I don't like doing that. You know, I can remember back when we were, Pastor Gerald and I, and God moved us to Connecticut. And then, listen, we had to yield our wills, all right? We had a very good life where we were. Sunny state of Florida, penthouse apartment, had a ministry, yielded our wills to serve other people. To just serve, not be in the ministry, lay down our ministry. But that's what God wanted. And I'll tell you, there were many times I wept. By the Spirit, God help me, not my will, Jesus, your will. There were many times when I was on the road and we were traveling a month and 5-6 weeks at a time in our car. And it was rough, one day to the next, living out of a suitcase. I wanted to go home, me in my bed. Amen? But God told me to do that. So I said, Lord, not my will, your will. I can remember driving in the car with my husband and tears just rolling down my eyes, weeping. Lord, not my will, your will. Help me, Lord Jesus. And see, these are things we have to realize, that we have to yield our will to God. Amen? So that we do the will of God in our lives. And when we do the will of God in our lives, God produces the fruit in us. And then He can use us in a mighty way. I couldn't be standing here teaching you tonight what I'm teaching you if I hadn't yielded my will. It's impossible. And God will promote you in due time and in due season when you get the work of the Spirit done in your life. See, a work of the Spirit has to get done in your heart. And that takes time. That does not happen overnight. We remember in Hebrews 5 and verse 7 and 8. Well, let's just look there real briefly. We've seen this before. We've read it. This is a memorization verse, Hebrews 5, 7. It says, who in the days of his flesh, Yeshua, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Okay, now the suffering was being obedient. That was the suffering. Not some religious thinking that you got to be sick and suffer for Jesus. No, it's being obedient to his will. And he is our example. He brought his own flesh into submission to God. So we have to give ourselves to the cry of submission to God. Our will must become God's will. And this kind of a cry, this kind of a weeping, will strengthen our hearts to obey God till our hearts are changed. Now, the fifth type of weeping is a weeping of compassion I want to talk about. real brief. And this works with the travail and the groanings. We've actually talked about this quite a bit. It's a weeping that will bring healing. It's a weeping of compassion for others, for the lost. And if you remember, we're not going to go there. We studied this in the groanings in John 11:35. Jesus wept because of Lazarus. He wept by the Spirit. He groaned, he wept. And if you remember, his cry, his groanings raised a man from the dead. That was a weeping of compassion. We are commanded to have compassion with weepings. It says that we are to weep with those that weep, and we are to rejoice with those that rejoice. Now, we have to understand and ask ourselves again, what happens when we see someone hurting? Do we have compassion on them? When we see a friend, when we see a family member, when we see them hurting, is there a compassion? Are we being sensitive? Are we associating with the need? Remember, the intercessor associates with the need, has the compassion. When we're in a prayer meeting, do we look at our watch because we need to go home, or do we stay sensitive to the Spirit of God and allow the Spirit of God to move till the Spirit of God is finished with us? That's being sensitive and being compassionate. Now, the last one I want to talk about, number six, is the weepings of intercession, which, of course, if you don't have compassion, you can't do this. And I'm going to talk mainly about Israel here. Of course, you know, this can be standing in the gap for anyone, but I want to talk primarily tonight about Israel. And in Jeremiah, let's look at Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. If you read Jeremiah, you'll understand why. Because he did a lot of weepings over his people. If you want to be a prophet, let me say that for those of you that are watching and listening, you better learn to be an intercessor first. There is no prophets that are true prophets that are not intercessors first. That's a key thing. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 18. Oh, that I, Jeremiah, could comfort myself against sorrow, for my grief is beyond healing. My heart is sick and faint within me. Behold, says the prophet, listen to the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people for help. Because of those who dwell in a far country, is not the Lord in Zion? Is not our king in her? But the Lord answers, why have they provoked me to anger with their carved images and with foreign idols? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, the gathering of fruit is over, yet we are not saved, comes again the voice of the people. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I, Jeremiah, hurt. I go around mourning, dismay has taken hold on me. Is there a balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people restored? Because Zion no longer enjoyed the presence of the great physician. And he is weeping for the condition of the people, the Jewish people, and we can do that today. And if we look at verse 1, he goes on and says, oh, that my head were waters and my eyes are a reservoir of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. And today, of course, we have slain victims almost daily in Israel and in Jerusalem, because of the devastation of the terrorism that's going on there. But we also need to know that many of the people have turned their heart away from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They have not kept their covenant. And that's what Jeremiah is talking about here. Let's look at verse chapter 9 and verse 17 to 21. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider and call for the mourning women to come. Send for the skillful women to come. He's talking about intercessors. It can be men too. He's calling for intercessors. Let them make haste and raise a wailing over us and for us. Wailing is another type of a sound. The wailing is a much stronger, louder type of a sound. And many times you go into intercession, some people will get that. You will wail and cry out in the spirit. He says, raise a wailing over us and for us that our eyes may run down with tears and our eyelids gush with water. For a sound of wailing is heard coming out of Zion. How we are plundered and ruined. We are greatly confounded and utterly put to shame. Because we have forsaken the land, because they have cast down our dwellings that have cast us out. Verse 20. Yet hear the word of the Lord, O you women, and let your ears receive the word of his mouth. Teach your daughters a lament. Each one teach her neighbor a dirge. Now this goes into another type of intercession. Dirge and a lament is lamenting is another type of praying. It's a heavy type of weeping combined with crying. And you can study that out on your own, but it's similar to what we're talking about. For death has come up into our windows. It has entered into our palaces, cutting off the children from outdoors and the young men from the streets. I'm going to tell you that this is really true today. I want to read you something really brief here before I continue in a couple more scriptures before we close. This came out of the Jerusalem Post, and you see when we read here, that death has come up into our windows. It has entered into our palaces, cutting off the children from outdoors and the young men from the streets. Just this week, and where you're watching, there may have been other things that have happened by the time you get this, but it would be similar. All right, this has to do with a five-year-old. It says the title is Five-Year-Old Was at Kindergarten Party Prior to Jerusalem Bombing. Hours before her death in a suicide attack, five-year-old Gal Eisenman was jumping around a blonde bundle of joy at a children's musical performance organized by her grandmother, Noah Alon, 559. A videotape of the occasion shows the two of them happy and dancing. Later, the tape was used to give details of what her and her grandmother were wearing so their bodies could be identified. The two were killed when a Palestinian suicide bomber blew himself up at a crowded bus stop in northern Jerusalem on Wednesday evening. In all, seven Israelis were killed in the attack. 50 people were injured, including Eisenman's mother and 18-month-old brother. The two most energetic women in our family, my mother and my niece, are gone in the blink of an eye, Alan's other daughter told the Army radio. As commuters waited in the early evening for buses to take them home, the bomber charged at the bus stop, setting off the explosives he carried in a tightly packed bag strapped across his shoulder. The bomb wrecked the bus stop and left the wide street littered with personal belongings and body parts. Rescue workers covered an overturned baby carriage with a black plastic sheeting. I heard a tremendous boom. I saw people go up in the air and everything turned black with smoke, said this man who was in a car near the bus stop. Eisenman and her family were on the way home from the end of the year kindergarten party in Ofra, a Jewish settlement about 20 miles north of Jerusalem in the West Bank. Alon, this is the grandmother, was a kindergarten teacher in the settlement. They had traveled in an armored bus from Ofra to the French Hill intersection in Jerusalem, from where they were to catch another bus to their home in the West Bank settlement east of the city. As they crossed the street to the bus stop, the bomber blew himself up. Eisenman's aunt said the child and her mother had arrived at the performance about an hour early, that the child was bursting with energy during the party she sat on my lap. At the end of the concert, the child, her name is Gal, or was Gal, stood next to her grandmother as the grandmother delivered a speech. Now this is these two people that were killed. In another tragic tale, two orphan sisters, Shuvan and Shagal, ages 7 and 3, lost their adopted grandfather in a suicide bombing on Tuesday, 3 months after their parents were killed in another attack in Jerusalem. At the time, the girl's parents had left a clinic where an ultrasound test showed their mother was 5 months pregnant with twins. The two girls were adopted by Gadi's sister, Anat, whose father-in-law, this man, Baruch, 60, was among the 17 people killed in Tuesday's bombing on a bus. We see the scripture being fulfilled in our eyes. And many of us here are beginning to weep, which is okay, because we're going to go into intercession in a few minutes as we close. This is real, people. This is happening today. Psalm 126, verse 5 says, "Those that sow in tears shall reap in joy." Isaiah 66, let's close with this. Isaiah 66. And I pray that if you've been watching by video and by audio, that the Spirit of God is moving on you right now and touching your heart, that you would begin to want to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for the wounded and those that are there, that you would comfort the people. It says, comfort ye, my people. I tell you that they need it. The mothers and the fathers and those, the children that have nobody are crying out. They have no one. And let's just close with these scriptures. In Isaiah 66, verse 10 through 13, it says, "Rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all you that love her. Rejoice for her, with her, all you that mourn for her, that you may suck and be satisfied with the breasts of her consolations, that you may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall you suck, and you shall be borne upon her sides, and be dandled upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem." This is talking about the nations being comforted. This is talking about Gentiles grafted in who love Israel being comforted because they prayed with and for Israel. Those of you that are watching that are Gentiles, God is calling you to pray, to stand in the gap, to love her as God loves her. And as I read this tonight and I looked in my stones, the Hebrew Bible, the Tanakh, the commentary on these scriptures said that Jerusalem and Israel are likened to a mother nursing her child. Just as a baby is nursed without any effort on his part, so will those of you who enjoy and love Israel, pray for her, those that weep with her, you will enjoy the endless prosperity that will be bestowed upon her. And one day there will be peace and prosperity there. But until that time, we are called to stand in the gap and to intercede with her and for her. So as we close, I just pray that those of you that are watching, as we go into intercession here, I pray that you out there will begin to weep and cry out for the apple of God's eye, and for those that have lost loved ones, share in what's going on and let the Spirit of God move and touch you. Amen.